Amen. We have been looking at Jubilee, and last Thursday we sort of put an end to our consideration of the Old Testament Jubilee, and we looked at a summary of what the Old Testament Jubilee really was. And we saw that Old Testament Jubilee was all about temporalities. Your land returns to you, temporality. Your house returns to you. Well, remember, if it was not built in the city, temporality. A bonded person returns to his family, temporality. And so on and so forth. There were the things of the flesh. Old Testament Jubilee did not address spirituality at all. Are you following me now? Okay. There was nothing spiritual. You would rejoice over being set free and not being in physical bondage anymore. But we said that once the year of Jubilee was over, people will begin to return to bondage again. A poor man will go and borrow again and will say, here is my son. Are you following me? Okay. Somebody will sell his land again because he needs money. And you now begin until, say, another Jubilee. If you did not redeem what you bought within a certain period. So there will be no end to bondage and being bound, materials or yourself. Hallelujah. Then we looked at the implications of Jubilee for Nigeria. And we said that October 1, 1960 was our real Jubilee. And we tried to look back at October 1, 1960. Those who were alive then, I was in elementary school. Okay, I had finished elementary school. I was in high school. If you look back at that time and you saw the jubilation, the movies must be around. I wish that they were showing such things on television. They were showing it. 1960. Okay. It was a lot of jubilation. A true feeling of jubilee. All school children would line up and march. Everybody. Everybody with flags. Are you with me? Everybody got a plastic cup. Which, if you poured hot water in it, it would swell. We started with poor quality things right there, October 1, 1960. You dare not pour hot water into your plastic cup. It would just swell. Hallelujah. We were very happy. We didn't know what we were going into. It is very sad that our own leaders have said more than once that we were better off under the British. And a lot of Nigerians believe that. And economically, I believe that. But at least the sense of freedom, that we can still make our nation as we want, is also good. Do you follow me now? Okay. And so when I hear some of our people blaming the British, yes, the British made sure that this will happen like this. The British, we have had 50 years. Couldn't we have reversed if we knew that the British did these things which were evil? Shouldn't we as a nation have reversed those things over 50 years? Shouldn't we? So let nobody continue to blame the British. Blame us. Until we begin to blame ourselves, we will not change. For as long as we point the accusing finger towards Britain, we will not be able to correct the things that are wrong here. So like I said on Thursday, Jubilee this year, 50 years of celebration. What we got was a bomb blast. They will be planning many more. May God help us. Because now we know the true enemies of this country. Nigerians are the true enemies of Nigeria. The British treated us better. Hallelujah. Today we will begin to look at New Testament Jubilee. Jubilee under the New Covenant. What is it like? Hallelujah. Amen. When we were going to start to look at Jubilee, I said that we couldn't start looking at Jubilee from Jubilee. I said that we would start to look at Jubilee from the concept of the Sabbath. And now that we're going to look at New Testament Jubilee, let us first address an issue. Because you know that if there was no bondage, there will be no need to cry for freedom. Are you with me? You only cry for freedom where there has been bondage. How did bondage come upon mankind? Sin. Genesis chapter 3. We are very familiar with it. Genesis chapter 3. That was where sin started. Adam and Eve. Let us look at some events that happened there so that when we get into the future, we can understand some of the events that will happen in the future. Genesis chapter 3, let's go to verse 7. We're not going to take it verse by verse. Verse 7, now, the serpent had come to the woman. The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me." And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Praise the Lord. So, you saw Adam and Eve made in the image of God, given the likeness of God, having disobeyed God and eaten of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat. And now God comes, and they were fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And they went to hide themselves. And he said, "Because I was afraid." Praise the Lord. So, because they sinned, Adam lost dominion. If you are in dominion, you don't know fear. Nothing makes God afraid. Are you with me? Nothing makes Jesus afraid. When the waters were troubled and the boat was in trouble, Jesus was sleeping. Praise the Lord. Everybody was fearful, troubled, running helter-skelter. Jesus was sleeping. Until finally they remembered, this man is around. Wake up! You are sleeping.
Carest thou not if we perish? We. You are comfortable, you know that you cannot perish here. But we, don't you care for us? Are you following me? If you have dominion, you're not afraid. But when they lost dominion, they didn't just throw you in the water. They lost it to the serpent. Are you with me? By spiritual law, you are the servants of who you obey. The serpents knew the law. They did not. Are you with me? Once you obey somebody, you have brought yourself under him and you become his servant. So if you have dominion, but you have become a servant of the serpent, your dominion automatically goes to him. So you will understand, when I speak to Christians, I say, be careful of sentiment. Be very careful of your sentiment. A lot of Christians don't get this thing. But when the serpent went to Jesus in the wilderness and said, if you know that you are the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. All the serpent wanted was obedience to him. So even though Jesus was sure, I am the Son of God, Jesus refused to obey. He had the power to turn the stone to bread. The serpent knew. So if you are the Son of God, was to create sentiment in Jesus. I'm the Son of God. Okay. So he goes ahead and he does it. Once he obeyed, he became a servant. But Jesus knew better. So Jesus said, forget it, no sentiment. I'm sure that I'm the Son of God, but this stone will not be made bread anyway. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. But that is the reality of spiritual warfare. If you use sentiment, you fail. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes.
Adam, Adam had fellowship with God.
Yes.
Several times.
Yes.
Now, Satan came only one day.
Yes.
And they listened to him. Why?
Well, you heard the question. That Adam was having fellowship with God, and Satan came just one time. And they listened to him and obeyed. The listening is okay, obeying him.
Yes.
Jesus also listened, but he did not obey. Are you following me? I understood you. I'm just putting the two languages right. Now, Jesus also listened. He heard him very well. But he did not obey. Right, they obeyed him. Now, the point is this. You know, where there is no law, there is no sin. Are you with me? When God made Adam, we will see some things later on. When God made Adam, God made him knowing everything that was going to happen with him. People say that God made man perfect. He says, yes. He says, yes. What did you say, man?
When a man was made
perfect,
why did he listen to Satan?
But she says, when God made man perfect, why did man listen to Satan? Yes, sir. Yes.
That tree, or those trees in the middle of the garden.
Yes.
One for evil, one for good.
Yes.
So, no judgment.
Okay.
So, in terms of knowing good and evil, you know, Adam was devoid of that, right?
Okay.
Before he ate the food, that food. So if I'm wrong, just keep saying no.
No, I think that you are not addressing the question.
No, I'm not, because that would explain to me what she's trying to say.
Okay, fine.
So I know the Bible says man is made perfectly. But it appeared at that stage, he didn't know between good and evil. True or false?
No.
Praise the Lord. Let us address the very point of error. Most Christians seem to be very sure, just like you said, that God made man perfect. Can you show me where God said, I have made you perfect? But you said you were very sure. You just said it now. You're passing the ball to her. No, God did not make Adam perfect. You will not find it. If you raise up your hand, I'll let you speak. God did not make Adam perfect. God himself said everything, including Adam, was very good. Not perfect. Very good. Very good can be very far from perfection. Very far from perfection. Are you with me? Interestingly, of Lucifer, God said, you were made perfect in the day that you were created. Are you following me now?
Yeah.
Of Lucifer, he said, you were made perfect in the day that you were created. So the serpent comes to the very good Adam.
In his perfection. Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Do you know that Lucifer was a very powerful angel?
Yes.
Do you know that when you read my book, Jesus and You, when you read the priesthood of Jesus, you will see my discussion of Lucifer. Lucifer was high priest. Are you with me? He was high priest. Lucifer was actually worshipped in the way that we now worship Jesus. Do you follow me? He was actually worshipped by those beings over whom he was high priest. I don't know the beings. Are you with me? And it looked like he was actually worshipped, and the worship was transmitted to the Godhead. The way that we worship Jesus, and it is transmitted to the Godhead. Do you realize that from the time that God made Adam until the time that the serpent came to Adam, God did not send Adam to the serpent to be tested. God just kept him. You don't go to that, but he just kept him and he just eat your fruits. Yeah. You follow me now?
Yeah.
Because God knew what was in him. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When Jesus came, the Bible said it was the Holy Spirit that took Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Try this one. Yes. Here. Try this one. He didn't ask Jesus to wait until the devil would come. He sent him there. Go to him. Devil, try this one. Are you with me?
Yes.
So that is the point. So why did he eat the fruit? In his conditional weakness, I don't know, the difference between very good and being perfect. He was curious. Curiosity brings about sin. If your curiosity is on the wrong side, it also brings about knowledge if it's on the right side. Are you with me? From the day that God said, don't eat of the fruit of that tree, because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He became curious. What is there in this fruit that we must not eat? Are you following me? Each time they would see the fruit, it looked good. Maybe it was smelling good. What is it? Why can't we eat it? So James chapter 1, James says, let me tell you, you cannot tempt God, and God doesn't tempt anybody. Don't blame God for whatever is happening. You see, you are only tempted to sin when you already have your own lust. That's what James said. So every man is tested on the basis of his own lust. What you have desire for, which you don't know how to carry out, the devil only comes to say this is how to do it. Praise the Lord. The devil just comes and says, this is how to do it. Go on. That is all. So the serpent came and said, hey, you're curious about this fruit? Don't mind God, you will not die. And when you have been curious enough, James said, when your curiosity gets to a certain point, you become gravid, pregnant with the idea of carrying it out. And once you are pregnant with the idea, you will eventually give birth to lust and sin, and then death. Are you with me? Okay. So when the sin is committed, it brings about death. Death. Does it mean that you drop dead physically? Oh, no, no, no. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They did not drop dead. Death is a separation from God. You may be walking about, and there are many of them all over the world, walking about, rejoicing in fornication and adultery, boasting how many women they have laid on their backs. Are you following me now? See, that is death. Are you with me? Adam and Eve did not have their first child until after they had died. Spiritually. What God was saying is that when you eat the fruit, you will no longer be the living soul that I made you. Are you with me? You know that in all of creation, Adam was the only one referred to as a living soul. Do you follow me now? When God made all of the other living things, he did not refer to any of them as a living soul. It was only Adam, after he had breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All of the other animals, none was described as a living soul. So God was saying to them, when you eat the fruit, you will no longer be the living soul that I have made you. My spirit, which I put into you to make you a living soul, will depart from you. You will be closer to the animals than to God. Sure.
I'm happy about the explanation. But one thing is that, now, if didn't obey Satan, which means they'd be only two in that garden up to today.
One, God said, be fruitful and multiply.
But they didn't know themselves or the way this happened.
Well, the point is, the Bible did not even predict the totality of all religious things, even our things. The Bible gave us the essentials. You might say they didn't know themselves in terms of having sex together.
Yes.
We do not know the age equivalent of Adam and Eve when God made them. Did he make them like people 50 years old, 20 years old, 10 years old? We don't know. We don't know. For how long were they there before the serpent came? We don't know. It's unnecessary. The Bible pulls out the points that we need. That's all. Hallelujah. Amen. So, somebody? Yes.
Adam, torí tí o bá la dúṣẹ́ gbogbo wa ìbéèrè ní ni pé ṣé bàbá mi ṣe wà náà àwa bàbá tójú wa ó
ṣe ojú adamu ò ṣe bàbá. Praise the Lord. She said that if Adam had not eaten the fruit and let his eyes be opened, would the whole world have been like Adam was at that time, groping at noonday as if it was night time? Adam was not physically blind. I have warned Babauke. I told him that when his telephone was ringing and he was telling that people were telling me to seize it. I told him put it in vibration. So when he came back, he was trying to put it in vibration. The next time, I will have one of you go and seize it. Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve were not physically blind. They were able to see with their eyes. They were not civilized, whether Yoruba or English. In Yoruba, you say, Oti like you. His eyes are open. It means he is civilized. Even in English, you say it. You follow my point? Yeah. So you're not surprised that they just saw that they were naked, which they didn't know before. Okay. And nobody taught them technology. They took leaves, they sewed together, and covered themselves. So they did acquire temporal knowledge. Are you with me? Okay. That is what we're talking about. God had a plan. In heaven, they don't go about naked. Are you with me? They are clothed in linen. Maybe their time to receive their own linen clothing had not matured. But they blew it. Okay. They blew it. Because their world was heaven on earth. They were in God's Eden. Eden was not planted by Adam. The Garden of Eden was planted by God. When God plants a garden, that garden is paradise. Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm so much interested.
You see, now,
does it mean that because in part of play two, there are some people there out of this where there's a topic to be? No! If you go to older area,
yes.
Those people living on the margins, they don't wear this.
Yes.
Now, as they say, you know, that is how they were created, and they still follow.
Yeah.
Does it mean that some of them that are stabilized? But why is it that those people that they are not changed, they are, can we say that they are not yet stabilized?
They are not.
Oh, well.
Well,
yeah. The point is that if they don't wear clothes, are they civilized?
They are not. Uh-huh.
If you said that they don't wear clothes,
yeah.
I'm asking you a question. Are they civilized?
Well, I wouldn't. Listen.
In their own world, in their own world, they do not know that they are not civilized. In their own world, but in the totality of the world around them, they are uncivilized. Okay. That, if you are parked on the road, especially towards this side.
This side, sir. This side.
This side now. Maybe you should move your car so that other vehicles don't brush the side of your vehicle. Okay. So let us go on now. Now, in addressing the serpent, I just want to use one area. God said, I I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Hallelujah. And God said, you will smite him at his heel, but he will bruise your head. Was the first prophecy in the Bible. God giving victory to man over the devil. In the end, we're still fighting. Praise the Lord. I beg pardon, sir. Somebody's hand.
Thank you. We were taught that we Christians, not us, when Adam and Eva, when they had the
he said, Christians are told not to curse. But when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God cursed them. Why? Can you show me in the Bible where the word of God says, God shall not curse? Can somebody tell me the passage? The choir master. Somebody said, you are the very one who should tell us. Pastors. Every pastor must relate with the Bible.
which thou shalt bear before death. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. That's the jubilee of 7 years, okay? If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
And if a man sells his daughter to be a male servant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. Praise the Lord. I think it is clear. If you buy an Hebrew servant, being a single man, he will serve you for 6 years. Seventh year, he will be free. If at the time that you bought him, he had a wife and had children, if you have bought the head of the family, all of them have become your own, I mean, all of them will go out free with him because he brought them in. But if when he was your servant, the master got him a wife and they have children, when it is the seventh year, he will go alone. The wife and children will remain the master's servants. However, if at the time that this servant was to go, he looks at his wife, he looks at his children, he says, I don't want to leave my family. I love my master. I don't want to go anymore. He will never be free from that master again. The master will take him to the door, take an awl, bore through his ear against the door. In the presence of the judges, it means forever and ever, he will never go free again. Don't you believe? So, Genesis chapter 3. Where God quickly said, I will put enmity between you and your new master. Are you following me now? The serpent. Between the serpent and the woman. And I will put enmity between you. It means I will not let your servant fall in love with you and hate to go. Do you follow me now? So that man may be redeemable in the future. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God did it for us there, quickly making plans to redeem us eventually, so that we may be free from that bondage. Now, we are moving gradually into New Testament. We'll go to the book of Isaiah now. Chapter 61, which many of us are familiar with. I begin to read from verse 1. Actually, I'm going to read through all 11 verses. Isaiah 61, beginning from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have done, and for confusion ye shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and grace to spring forth before all the nations. Amen. This is a messianic prophecy. Messianic prophecies are prophecies that pertain to Jesus. Hallelujah. It speaks to the future. Speaks of the time of liberty that we will have. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings. Good tidings. There is no tidings as good as the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the meaning of gospel. Hallelujah. To preach good tidings unto the meek. Sends me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If you read it carnally, you will miss what it is all about. To open the eyes of the blind. Was he talking of these eyes? No. Yeah, Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, but what he did essentially was open the spiritual eyes. In the Garden of Eden, their eyes were opened. They became civilized to ordinary things, but they lost spiritual sight. Do you follow me now? The devil just caused them to abandon the spiritual and take on the temporal. Now things are going to be restored to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that is Jubilee. Are you with me? To proclaim Jubilee and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. If you are no longer mourning, you should be jubilating. Hallelujah. To appraise unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. All of the qualities of people in bondage are being changed for the qualities of people in liberty. Hallelujah. And addressing them in spiritual terms. You will see the spirituality of this prophecy eventually. And he went on and on and on. We have read, but the part that I want to use is what I have just brought out. That Isaiah prophesied to the Jubilee under the new covenant, which was to come. Hallelujah. And we are in that Jubilee. Somebody raised a question last Thursday. Well, made an explanation or raised a question. That liberty is not total. We will see eventually if it is total. Of course, we answered that question then, but we will see into more detail in the near future. Hallelujah. So, Isaiah spoke into the future, giving us that prophecy. And in Matthew 1, I will use verse 21 only. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, risen, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we all agreed that in Genesis chapter 3, the thing that took us into bondage was sin. Okay, now we are being told of this Jesus who was to come, who will save his people from their sins. So if sin took us into bondage. And Jesus will save us from our sins. What it means is that Jesus will take us out of bondage, because it was sin that put us there in the first place. Hallelujah. And then, let us take a look at what will be the major difference between this coming Jesus, who will take us out of bondage, and the man Adam, who put us there. Hallelujah. You know, I told you that when God was making Adam, God knew what he was doing. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. See how he qualified the stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Anybody with NIV may read. Any translation different from King James? Isaiah 28:16.
Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says.
This is what the sovereign Lord says.
Look,
I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem.
A firm and tested stone.
It is a precious cornerstone
that is safe to build on.
Yes. Whosoever believes needs never be shaken. Any other translation? Any other? Yes? Thank you. I'm trying to, just a minute, just hold on 1 minute. Okay, most of my translations say about the same thing. I have quite a number of translations which I just checked. Now, let's look at it. God had laid a foundation before, right? Okay. Let me ask you before I go on. You know the parable of the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man dug his foundation on what? On the rock. The foolish man? The sand. Okay. Let me ask you this question. I know I have asked this question here before, some time ago, but let me ask again. Who is the rock? Jesus Christ is the rock. Who is the sand? Invariably, Christians say Satan. Or devil. What was Adam made of?
The sand.
Satan is not the sand. Adam is.
Dust.
What is dust? He says dust, not sand. It is Adam is dust or sand or clay. It doesn't matter. Okay. So actually the sand is Adam. The foundation that was not sure. Are you following me? No. Satan was never a foundation for man to build on. Never. Satan is an imposter. When God made Adam, he was a foundation, and all men were to come by him. He was our original foundation. Are you with me? In my book, The Last Adam, I must have explained it. I don't care how good you are as a civil engineer. Go and build a skyscraper on sand. It will eventually sink. God knew what he was doing. God has to let us see the coming Christ as a different person entirely. God just took Sam, just made Adam. When he's talking about the new foundation that he will build, he said a stone. He did not stop there. He said a precious stone. He did not stop there. He said a well-proven, well-tested cornerstone. He said the one that cannot fail like Adam. Are you with me? So, whosoever builds on him will not make haste like Adam, who when he knew God was around, he ran to hide himself. Are you with me now? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. You will not run away again if you believe in Jesus. If you build on him, the shame of sin will not come upon you. You will not flee from the presence of God. Actually, you are going to love the presence of God. Just like Adam loved his presence before he sinned. How many people do you know who sin? How many times have you invited them? Come, let us go to the church. They know that it is good. We were talking like family earlier this morning. I was telling the children, there are lots of people who know it is good to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord, but they won't come. Yeah, isn't it true?
Yes.
They know. They will not argue with, but they will not come. They will not come. They have to hide from the presence of God. It's because of the works of their hands. There are many businessmen. Because they believe that they must go back and write, get the contract, write. When you tell them, you should be born again, give your life to Jesus, they will agree with you. But they want to make enough money before they get born again. Because they know, they believe and know, that after they get really born again, they are not supposed to be doing these things again. They know. So they will be postponing the day of their salvation. I pray that death does not come before the day comes. Sin does not let you want to be in the presence of God. I was a lecturer at this university, I knew him very well. It is said to me, Dr. So, you should get born again, give your life. He was going to church, you, but give your life to Jesus. He will say, I know that I need to do that. But there are some sins that I still enjoy. That is the way he will say it. He will say, there are some sins that I still enjoy. And that is the problem with a lot of people. They are still enjoying some sins. But if you build on this new foundation, you will have no reason to flee from the presence of God. You will love the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You will not be ashamed of that. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. If you want to clap, clap. Hallelujah. The Lord is so beautiful. He's so beautiful. I'm going to stop here for today. I want to give room for other questions or discussions. Yes, ma'am. Who? Oh, I thought somebody said something. No questions? No comments? The choir master.
I'm a human Adam, go profile. Adam ni Adamu re.
He said, people say that Adam brought sin into the world. Was it Adam or was it his wife Eve?
His wife.
Mr. Sule. Praise God.
I believe that we have two, everybody has two spirits, in himself or in herself, spirit of God and spirit of devil. It is left to you to choose. So the question as a brother. Yes, was to herself. God gave her free will, either to do good or to do bad. Adam was given free will, either to do good or to do bad. So everybody is responsible for himself or for herself.
I think I have the answer here. Let me from Genesis chapter 3.
Okay, somebody has another answer.
Can we go to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. I'm reading from New King James now. Verse 17, it says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cause is the ground for your sake. In turn, you shall eat of it all the day.
Okay, Baba says I didn't answer the question, and I think that he did not answer the question. That didn't mean that Eve did not eat the fruit first. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I will read the King James Version. Wherefore, as by one man, verse 12, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Who is the one man?
Adam.
Adam. Why? Listening to the wife is not the same. Yes, sir. But Eve ate it first.
I think in God's eyes.
Yes.
Eve is part of Adam.
Yes.
Because it was created out of Eve.
Okay.
So when God addresses the issue,
yeah,
it's the original man.
Okay. Okay, let me quickly explain because of time. Let me ask you one question. I think I put this also in one of my books, When You Read Jesus and You, because I address many of these issues. Mr. Sule, if your wife came home one day and your wife said, I have got a job in my Maiduguri, the family will move. Your wife comes home and she says, I have got another job in Maiduguri, so the family will move to Maiduguri. Will you take her seriously?
Yes.
No.
Yes, in the sense that if I look at her business and it is acceptable to me, yes. But if it is not acceptable to me, no.
Then you are still the one that is decided. You are still the one that is decided. It is not your wife decided. You are decided. No, I'm saying your wife is decided. So the family must move. No. But if the husband comes home and says, I have got a job in Maiduguri, so the family will move to Maiduguri. Do you follow me?
Yes.
The point is this. The man is the head of the family. He can commit the whole family. The woman cannot just do that. Are you following me? Now, when you look at God's ways of reckoning things, inheritance is patrilinear. In other words, inheritance is down the lineage of the fathers. That has changed. Rawlings changed it. There is no wisdom beyond the wisdom of God. When God did it that way, it was God's wisdom. When in Ghana they didn't do it that way, ask Sister Mary, there were confusions. Because your own son cannot inherit you. When it was that way in Ghana, they were inheriting on the mother's side. So your son cannot inherit you. Your son will inherit his uncle on the mother's side. So if you were a millionaire,
your son can inherit the uncle who is a pauper. Then your nephew will come to inherit you. Confusion. Are you with me? So inheritance is record along the lineage of the fathers, whether materials or iniquity. So when God spoke in Exodus 20, I visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations. He didn't say the mothers. So Eve could have eaten the fruit, she would get her punishment. If Adam did not eat the fruit, his offspring will not be committed to sin because their father has maintained a righteous position. Are you with me now? So when you come to the path of Jesus Christ, Jesus was born sinless. I mean, why? Go and buy my books and read. Why? His father was God. God has no sin. But Mary was not God. The reason is that the sins of the mother are not inherited by the child. Are you following me? So because that was the reason that God had to bring about the pregnancy. The psalmist, God looked all over the world for someone, one person who was righteous. He said, God did not find any. All of them had gone aside. There was none that was doing good. He said, no, not one. So when God couldn't find one righteous man to bring about the deliverer who will be born without sin, God has to make himself the father of the child. But then it didn't matter if Mary had any sin. The child will not inherit the sins of the mother. It is only the sins of the father. Are you following me? And since the father, God, has no sin, the child was born sinless. Period. These are the fundamentals of our faith. Give Jesus a big clap of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So Adam brought sin into the world. Eve was the first one to sin, but Adam sent it down the generations. Praise the Lord. Let's begin to pray now. Everybody, let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray. Let's give thanks to God. Let's thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our teacher. And no one teaches like him. Let's thank God for grace to be able to sit down and hear these things. Grace that we have ears to hear these things. Grace to understand them. Grace to have a witness by the Spirit of God in our own spirit that what we are hearing is the truth. Because it is the truth that sets anybody free. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? You have not. You know you're not born again. I mean, you go to church, all right. You are active in the church too, but you know that you are not born again. Just raise up your hand. I will pray with you before I go to take my seat. Anybody? Anybody? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your daughter who has raised up her hand. Thank you because nobody who comes to you will be cast away. And we know, Lord, that you have received her today. And may she never be the same again. Amen. Father, we bless your holy name. Amen. We have other things to do today. Thank you for the spirit of counsel. Thank you for your hand upon us. So that in all that we do, your holy name will be glorified. Amen. Father, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A good clap of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who made Adam to sin?
Okay.
My problem is that it's that woman that pushed him to sin.
Uh-huh.
Because when they asked, why do you take this food? He said, you send my wife to me. The one that she did the
fruit.
Now, praise the Lord. Did you hear the question? She said, we said that Adam first sinned to the whole world. She said, but who made Adam to sin?
Why? What, mama?
The wife. The wife. His wife did not ready to sin. Adam decided to sin on his own.
Hello.
Hello. She did not make him to sin. He knew the command of the Lord. He knew what God said. The woman was made after he had been made. He passed instruction to the woman after the woman was made. When he decided to eat, it was his own decision. It was not Eve's decision. Eve gave him the fruit, but it was his decision to take it and eat it. Eve did not make him to sin. When God said to Adam, why did you, have you eaten the fruit that I told you not to eat? Adam said, the woman that you gave me was the one who gave. Did God say, okay, Adam, stay aside, you are innocent. Did God say that?
No.
When Eve said it was the serpent, did God say, therefore, Eve, you are free. Serpent, I will punish you. Did God do that?
No.
Everybody committed his own sin on his own. And everybody got his or her own punishment on his or her own. Don't say that somebody caused you to sin. The decision has to be made by you. Praise the Lord. Are we going to go? Okay, go ahead.
The same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah.
Yes.
That's which means Abraham had the mind of doing it before the wife told him for her.
Okay. Yes. Listen. Father Sarah brought Hagar to Father Abraham. Here, this is my maid. Do it. Let her deliver me my hand. The child will be my own. It was the culture of those days.
So
you remember Father Jacob, how Rachel, not having a child, brought her maid, because the child would then be her own.
Leah.
And when
Leah
saw that, she stopped bearing. Competition between two sisters. She also brought her own maid. I want more. It was the culture of those days. Why it was different with Abraham was that he was a man who had received a promise. And to let you know the position, when Hagar started to mock Mother Sarah went to Father Abraham and he said, my sin be upon you. I brought my maid to you and you did it. So, did she compel him? No. She brought the maid, but the woman herself is saying, it is true that I brought her, but why did you do it? That's what we're talking about.
And that was why God punished Abraham, and then I follow what your wife has told you. Because you, at the beginning, you obeyed her instead of me. Now obey her again, and send the maid away.
Hallelujah. Finally, give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah.